Hi, I'm Nigel the Shanghai Psychic. I can tune into your loved ones in the spirit world, but I can also tune into you, tell you about your path and the choices that you need to make and need to know. I'm currently giving 30% discount on all Tell Craig Your Story listeners. Just use the code Tell Craig Your Story for 30% off your first psychic reading with me online at Nigel the Shanghai Psychic.
Craig here, welcome to another edition of the podcast, Tell Craig Your Story. Today we'll be speaking to co-captain of the Australian Diamonds netball team, Paige Hadley. Now Paige is born in Penrith, Australia. Now she has recently signed a 3-year extension with the New South Wales Swifts. And she's also just come back from England where the Australian team won the 2024 Netball Nations Cup. And Paige was player of the series. And since her time with the New South Wales Swifts, she has won 2 premierships. Now, Paige was also named in the Team of the Year for the 2023 season. And we talk about her amazing career so far. But before we go, please go to our website. We were at Podbean. Tell Craig Your Story at podbean.com. We have a link tree which tells you where Tell Craig Your Story podcast is streaming. We're on all the major streaming services. We also have a YouTube account. Make sure you're subscribing and liking to get all the latest updates. And we have VK for our Russian listeners and WeChat for our Chinese listeners. All right, here we go. This is my chat with Australian netball representative Paige Hadley on Tell Craig Your Story podcast. Hi Paige, how are you doing this morning?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you very much for the time. We've finally got together to do this. First off, I wanted to talk just on a personal note. You gave my mom and my sister a message for Christmas 2 years ago to say I couldn't come to Christmas, and it was through Swish, and it made my mom and my sister's day. They're both Swifts fans. So tell us about how you got involved in that and what it means to do those sorts of things.
Yeah, oh, that's very cool. Yeah, so Swish is obviously a platform where, you know, anyone can kind of reach out and get video messages from all of their sport stars. And, you know, for me, obviously, it was a way to, I guess, you know, on social media, you get a lot of requests for things and it's obviously hard to kind of, you know, filter through. So to be able to have a platform like Swish where you can kind of connect directly with the fans. And for me, it's obviously like, a lot of the proceeds go towards charities that Swish sponsor. So, you know, whilst it's a little bit of, you know, a side thing we do, it also goes to a good cause. So, yeah, kind of, you know, it's two birds with one stone, being able to, I guess, connect with the fans, but also know that, you know, your time and your effort is giving back to, I guess, you know, people in need.
Yeah, absolutely made my day. And then how did you do that? How do you... You know, all these questions about, yeah, so I really do appreciate that. Thank you very much. So, Paige, just a little bit of a review for 2024 already. It's already been such a busy, busy year. Tell us about your 2024 so far.
Yeah, so 2024 started with the Netball Nations Cup over in the United Kingdom, over in the UK, and we had 2 games in London and then 2 games in Leeds, and that was pretty cool, obviously. 2023 was a massive year for the Diamonds, so, you know, 2024 was, you know, kind of like, you know, where do we start? How's the network going to come together? You come off a bit of a break. But, yeah, it was awesome, obviously, going over to the UK. We played New Zealand first, then England. New Zealand was a close game, and then England, we won by two, which the crowd in London was just phenomenal. Like, I remember it was going goal for goal for goal for goal, and you're riding your highs and lows. And then, yeah, we went to Leeds and played Uganda, which was the very first time in the Australian Diamonds history of ever playing Uganda, which was just blows my mind. And then obviously the final was against England, where we were able to beat them and come away with a trophy for the Netball Nations Cup.
Is it difficult for you to prepare for something straight after Christmas? I mean, you want to have some time to relax.
Yes, I think obviously the way the Diamonds are set up is that you will have little hubs in Sydney or Melbourne or wherever you're based. And then before we go away to camp, we'll come together. And it's always hard because especially that Christmas, New Year's period, a lot of your family, a lot of your friends are having time off, they're going away. So we did get 10 days kind of actively where you could train, you know, wherever you were around the country. But yeah, leading in obviously was very much like I was training with a Sydney-based group, and then I did get to go away with my family for a little bit there. But yeah, it's always hard. Obviously, you're very grateful to play for your country, and it's just the timing of the year when a competition comes up. But yeah, it's always nice as well to be able to train, I guess, in new locations away from people. You get a bit of downtime, you get a bit of flexibility with your training schedule in terms of what time you want to train. So, yeah, it's obviously difficult. Yeah, you see everyone having nice time, really winding down, where we're obviously still really in, training mode as well as trying to get that downtime with family and friends.
And you said also playing against Uganda as well. I mean, of all the countries in the world to be playing netball, do you see, like, Australia going there in the future and doing tournaments there?
Oh, that would be unreal. I think, you know, they gave it to every single top nation at Nations Cup. I think they only lost, you know, most games within, you know, less than five or six, which was pretty incredible for a country who hasn't had that much exposure to world netball. It doesn't get to play the top three or four nations every year. It's only really at a pinnacle event. So, I can't imagine, you know, if we're able to get access to, you know, playing against them more often and then their players getting into either the Super Netball or more players into the England League, that, you know, they're going to be up there with, you know, the top, you know, nations. And yeah, it'd be obviously really cool to be able to play in Uganda. I've never ever been there. And it's kind of never been something that's, you know, kind of been talked about because we just have never, yeah, had that opportunity really. So yeah, that'd be cool if down the track that's something that, I guess, transpires.
And have some of the players already filtered into the English League or the Australian League?
So with the venue, we've got none in Suncorp at the moment, but there's two. I know that there's the Mary, the goal shooter, is over in, I think, Loughborough Lightning, I think she plays for, over in the NSL, so in the England League. And I believe there's one of the defenders plays also over there. I think it's obviously, yeah, like we were talking to them and they said that in the lead up to the Nations Cup, a lot of their players are training outdoors on concrete floors, you know, and then they've obviously come over to England and played in indoor stadiums on, you know, wooden floorboards, which is just crazy. Like we would never be training outdoors, you know, in all terrains on concrete floor again. Like it's crazy.
And it says here, Paige, that you were player of the tournament.
Netball Nations Cup.
Yeah, congratulations. And also in the team of 2023. So there's some amazing achievements also. Congratulations.
Yeah, very, very surprised, yeah, by the Netball Nations, you know, player of the series. That was, yeah, I guess, you know, you don't play for those individual accolades. You know, very much me, I play for, you know, for the team and trying to get those results that we're working hard towards. So yeah, to, you know, get a team of the year last year and get the player of the series was, yeah, very humbling and yeah, I was very surprised.
And then going back just a little bit too, huge news for the Sydney Swift that you signed for 3 years, another 3 years. So again, well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us about that decision to stay for another 3 years.
Yeah, I think, one, like, to be honest, my heart is with the New South Wales Swifts. I think for me, I've grown up in Sydney. The Sydney Swifts were the team that I grew up watching. Never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that I would be, you know, playing for them, let alone playing one season and let alone now going into my 13th season with the club. But yeah, I guess for me, as I'm becoming, you know, an older athlete, you know, I guess the end is closer than what the start is for me now. And Sydney's where, where home is, you know, under Bryony Akle at the club. You know, she signed on for 3 years. So I think my netball just got better and better under her. So, yeah, it was a no easy brainer for me. It was, you know, if they were going to offer the 3 years, I was definitely going to take it. You know, this group that we put together, I think there's five of us that have signed 3 years. So, and the group's been together for 7 years already. So, yeah, it's an unreal group. I think we've kind of grown up together. Right. We've been together for so long. So, yeah, we want more premierships. We want more success. You know, we've done a lot of hard work to get to, you know, where we are, and, you know, to be able to be selling out memberships. And, you know, I think we're at our most memberships ever. So, like, and that, the season hasn't even started yet. So, you know, it's exciting. It's an exciting club to be a part of. A very successful club. And, yeah, obviously to be able to do it at home and have my family and friends up in the stands every game watching is, yeah, is pretty special.
Did you get any other offers, just quietly?
Well, I didn't really go out and seek offers this time. In the past, obviously when my contracts have been up, there's been offers, and definitely between the change from Suncorp, well, ANZ to Suncorp, there was definitely offers there, and there was definitely a lot of consideration to moving. But, you know, I said to my manager this time around, like, you know, it's Sydney for me. I want, you know, I want that deal. If it's 2 or 3 years, you know, I feel like I've got my life here now, not just, you know, inside netball, but also outside, which, you know, is really important to me to have that balance. And, you know, as I said, like, the end is closer than the start. So, you know, having those things working so that, you know, when I do transition out of netball, whenever that may be, that I've got, you know, opportunities. And I think Sydney for me is exciting, and it's where I want to be.
What better place than Sydney as well? Beautiful, beautiful part.
Well, it's very expensive. So if I can go somewhere else, it'll be nice because it's a lot cheaper, but Sydney is very expensive.
That's right. And talking about the season coming up here, again, I know my mum and my sister are always traveling down to Sydney from Newcastle, but I'm not 100% sure. Do you branch out to the regional areas as well, playing games?
Not of late, to be honest. I know that when I first started with the Swifts, we always used to play in Newcastle actually every second year. And there was one game every second year that was taken, like, regionally. Right. So I know in pre-season it's a focus of the clubs to try and get out to those regional areas. I know with the Diamonds, we played in Newcastle at the end of 2022. My first actual game of captaining the Diamonds was in Newcastle. So, yeah, I think it's super important to get out to those regional. I know whenever I go out there to coach or to do an appearance, like, that, they're so grateful for it.
Yes.
You know, they don't get to see us every week, you know, and so, yeah, we love obviously going out there. And I think even the kids are just, you know, a bit more grateful and a bit more excited to see you. So, yeah, I think it's something that netball is looking into. It's obviously about, I know it's a business and it's about the cost of things and where they move and stuff. Yeah, we love going out regional. I think even if it's playing a preseason game, you know, you see people turn out in herds, you know, trying to get into the action. So, yeah, it's very exciting playing in front of those fans.
I'm sure you'd be getting lots of big lineups there, getting your autographs, but, you know, be patient, like you said. So, and also the preparation for this year, tell us about how that's all coming about.
Yeah, so I obviously was away for most of January at the Netball Nations Cup. But I know the girls were hard at work, you know, on court 4 times a week, in the gym 3 times a week, running sessions, physio, Pilates, all those sort of things. So I've come back and we actually had a team camp, which was nice, obviously, to connect us all together. But it was tough. It was a tough 48 hours. It was like military camp. There was hardly any sleep. There was a lot of running. A lot of physical activity, so I was very sore for a few days after that one. But yeah, it's really exciting. I think, you know, I've got some preseason games coming up against the Vixens next week, and then the Lightning the week after, and then obviously Team Girls Cup is in Sydney, where, you know, fans can watch all the teams across the Suncorp Super Netball in action at Sydney Olympic Park, which will be awesome, and obviously a good insight into kind of where you sit in terms of, you know, how your strategies are going, what's your fitness like against other teams, because it's obviously hard. When you're training, you know, you're kind of going along and you're ticking the boxes and seeing where you're at. But until you really play competition, you don't kind of know where you sit. So, yeah, it's tracking along really nicely. Preseason's always a slog. your body's always looking forward to round one because it means that, you know, training pulls off a little bit and the games start. So, yeah, it's going really well. I think it'll be exciting to play our first practice match and see kind of where we are actually at as a team and what we're kind of the areas we need to focus on going forward.
Yeah, that's excellent. And one thing about netball in Australia, and I'm sure it happens all around the world, and I'm only new to it as well, is the Fast Five. So for some of the listeners that don't know too much about that, I just wanted your opinion on, did you have to change your preparation to play this game? And you get 2 points for a goal outside, right?
Yeah, so Fast Five has been around for a little while now. I think it might have been 2013 or 2014 it first came in. And it was kind of like, I guess, like an adaptation to similar to like T20 cricket. You know, obviously it's faster, it's more intense. It's obviously trying to bring other fans into the game. And yeah, so obviously five players on the court. You get a 1 point for close to the ring, a 2 point kind of near the outer arc, and then 3 points outside the circle. But during power plays, which is the last, I believe, 2 minutes of every quarter, every goal is worth double. So it'd be two, a four, and a six. And yeah, I think it's definitely changes the game. Like, I guess, you know, defensively, all you're trying to do is push a shooter away from the post. But in Fast Five, you're sometimes trying to push them towards the post, because if you push them outside, they're going to get twos or fours. So yeah, it's definitely a change. I think it's exciting. It's fast. I know a lot of the World Series have been in New Zealand. They absolutely love it over there. They get dressed up. They're just into it. They're mad crazy about it. So yeah, Australia kind of sees the Fast Five, obviously going out there to win it, and they've won it the last 2 years. But it's definitely been about that development and getting that next generation of players who probably will step into the Diamonds environment one day, giving them opportunity on that world stage, getting a taste of what it's like, you know, because obviously you're playing against other countries who have got their best players there as well. So giving them a taste of kind of what international netball looks like, and then, you know, seeing what they can do on that world stage. And yeah, the last 2 years, they've been able to win it, which has been, you know, very exciting.
You're playing the Fast Five?
No. So a lot of the Diamonds the last 2 years haven't been able to play Fast Five, just based on schedules and, you know, our Constellation Cup kind of leading into Fast Five. So yeah, I haven't played for the last few years. I'm kind of thankful because there's a lot of running at centre. There's only five players, no wing attack, so it's very much tougher.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back in career and life. So I believe you were born in Penrith in Sydney?
Yep, I was born out there.
Tell us about growing up there in Penrith, and for the people who don't know much about Australia.
I guess it's in Sydney. It's situated out in the west, and it's definitely a growing area. I think it's very family, very sport crazy. Some people can be very, you know, judgmental of where people live, but you know, for me, growing out there was, you know, a great lifestyle. I had opportunities that I probably wouldn't have had elsewhere. Mum and dad moved out there to be able to afford to live and to buy a house, and you know, to support me and my brother in kind of whatever endeavours we decided to choose. And I was lucky enough to play netball. My mum was heavily involved. She umpired, she coached, she played. She's on the committee, so I was kind of like born into it. So yeah, so she did it, and so pretty much the day I was born, I was in a pram on the sideline, you know, watching her do her thing. And then yeah, when I was seven, my friend from primary school signed up to the club, so I decided to do it as well, and kind of never looked back. It was kind of one of those moments where, you know, every Saturday I just look forward to being out there. You know, 8 o'clock in the morning, I'd play, then I'd watch my umpire and coach and play in the afternoon, and I'd play on the playground and go try and play another team if they were missing players. So growing up out there was awesome. It had opportunities, it was sport crazy. And even now, obviously, you know, being, you know, older and playing for the Swifts, and I feel like I've got so much support from the people out in the Western Sydney. This, I guess, you know, being one of their own and being in their pathway, I think they're very supportive of their players and their people. And yeah, I feel like even now I get that love from them, you know, at games or on social media or all that sort of stuff, which is nice. And hopefully it's like an inspiration to, you know, young kids growing up out there that you can chase your dreams and that anything's possible, and you don't need all the money in the world to be able to have those opportunities, and then hopefully, you know, make it a career, which I've been lucky enough to do.
And get out there and play. And when did you sort of realize that, hey, this is really, really starting to get really good? Like, were you in making the rep teams in high school and primary school?
I always made my school teams, but I never made a representative school team. Like, I never made like combined high schools and all those sort of teams going through school. It wasn't until I was like 16 when I trialled for my first state team. And I remember turning up and there was like 200 girls or something there. And I was like, this is crazy. I've never seen anything like this. Like, I'm, you know, grew up in the West. Like, you know, you turn up to school and there'd be, you know, 20 people trialing for a team of 12. Like, where I was turning up and there was 200 people trialing for a team of 12. And I was like, Mom, I'm never, ever going to make this. Like, this is actually ridiculous. Like, I've never made really a representative school team. I hardly made academy teams. I think I made one on the 15 team and then never made opens. Like, it was just crazy. And then Mom's like, just give it a go. Like, you never know. And then I was lucky enough to make phase one and then made phase two. And then I think we're down to like 60 girls and so up to phase three. And then they decided that they would pick a squad of, I think it was like 20 something. And then they would train together. And I was in that squad and I was like, whoa, like how have I made it from 200 to like the top 30? This is unreal. And then I always knew I trained really hard. And so I think it was kind of a blessing for me that, you know, there's a squad and you could train before we got selected. And so I knew I had a really good training ethic and I was a good listener. And so, yeah, I was able to train with the squad for a few weeks and then, yeah, lucky enough to be picked in my first state team to represent New South Wales and, yeah, go off to nationals. I was in Canberra that year and that was kind of the start of, yeah, I guess a journey because, you know, when someone saw me in that, it was then, you know, different things opened up from that opportunity.
What's the memory of your first game?
I think I was just so oblivious. I didn't realise, like, the pressure and the expectation that New South Wales, well, for us, New South Wales were, you know, always kind of came in the top two. Like, we were such a competitive state. We had a great pathway program. It was always, like, New South Wales and Victoria were kind of always ones having, you know, head-to-head. So, yeah, I think I was just oblivious. I went out there and I just enjoyed it. I remember looking back at photos and I was like, skinny little thing with no muscles. And I was just like, yeah, it was just like, whoa, look at this kid. Like, just, you know, pretty much came out of, you know, club netball and now she's representing New South Wales. So, yeah, it was unreal. I think it's why you play. It's for those memories. So, yeah, it was very, very awesome. I think from that moment I made, you know, unreal friendships. Like, that coach is still our Swiss Academy coach. So I still have that connection with her there. And then a lot of the players I'm still friends with who are either playing now or have stopped playing, but, yeah, still keep in contact with. So, yeah, it was awesome to have those friendships as well.
And you were saying, too, that you're a good listener and you're very focused. I can believe you because what I found online is that you got 97.6 on your TER for grade 12, which is absolutely amazing. So my question is, that's absolutely incredible. How did you balance studying and playing netball professionally? Or was it amateur at that stage?
Yeah, so I hadn't made the Swifts yet in year 12. I was kind of going through nationals. So
right.
We'd go away in April in the school holidays, but we'd train every Friday night, every Saturday morning. You know, I was training for club, you know, three nights a week. So it was full on. I don't know, I've always been, I guess it's a trait or something. My mum is very organised. So a diary was like my best friend. I was quite open with, you know, teachers about when I was missing school for netball commitment. So I wasn't lagging behind on schoolwork. And I think for me, I just wanted to, you know, for me, year 12 is kind of only, you know, do it once. So you're only going to do something once, you want to do it right. And, you know, I wanted the opportunity because, you know, for me, I guess netball was definitely amateur at that time, and so it wasn't like, you know, okay, I want to be a professional netballer, I'm going to have $1 million, I'm going to be able to support myself, all those things. It was like, no, like, even if I become a netballer, I'm still going to have a job, I'm still going to have to work, I'm still going to have to go to uni. So I didn't want, you know, my degree or my score at school to hold back what my opportunities might be at uni or off the court. So yeah, I wanted that balance between both things. And yeah, I was lucky enough, obviously, to, yeah, work hard and get that ATAR and then get a scholarship to study at the Western Sydney University. So, you know, that helped me financially as well. I had no idea what I wanted to do, but to get that scholarship and to be able to study for free at uni was a massive help for me. You know, hex debts and opportunities, it's hard. So, yeah, I think that working hard there opened another door for somewhere else, which is, you know, I guess I see the way the world works, you know, you're always working hard to do something, but it opens up opportunities that you might not know even existed, which I had no idea that was even a possibility to get a scholarship to study at, you know, my local university.
And then it gives you that opportunity to sort of fall back on after your career, like you said before. Did you have any inspirations to do something different other than netball?
Oh, I guess if you had asked my, like, five-year-old self, I would have been a school teacher. But I think now I did a business and commerce degree at uni, so I've got that hopefully to fall back on, and a major in sport management, so potentially something in high-performance sport. But, yeah, I think for me it's just having, you know, those doors always opening, not closing doors, because, you know, netball and my career in sport is so short. You know, yes, being at a club, you know, I've signed for 3 years, so I would be there 15 years. Seems so long, but 15 years of the scheme of your whole life is so short. So, you know, having those opportunities elsewhere and, yeah, it's really important for me because, unfortunately, once the door closes on netball, it's pretty much going to have to get a full-time job somewhere else financially to be able to, you know, live in Sydney and have all those, you know, unfortunately, we're not on million-dollar contracts. So, yeah, straight into work and straight into the next thing.
Yeah, and something that I wanted to talk about as well is about, like, not being professional. I mean, like, all the Australian sports, even with the rugby league, you watch an old game of rugby league and, like, they score a try and he's a full-time postman or something like that. They got a full-time job. So how has that developed with netball Australia? Can you be a professional netball player or is it, you know, only the elite players?
Yeah, I think it's definitely still like a pay discrepancy. I think, you know, our base salary is only at about $48,000, which if you were to ask someone to move to Sydney on $48,000 and pay rent and live is very
much
steep.
Left over.
Yeah, so I think the best players can make it a full-time career. A lot of internationals can make it a full-time career. Obviously, you know, having their club salary, but then also the international payment as well. But I think I always explain to people that you can make it a professional job now and it's okay money to live on now, but it's not going to set you up for the next 10 years of your life after netball. Like, you can't, you know, you're not going to be able to buy all these things and save and invest and do all these things. So when you retire, it's like, all right, I got 100, you know, all this stuff. I don't have to worry about work. It's okay now, but you will have to look after, you know, when you hang up the boots or hang up the netball dress, you will, you know, if you want to live in Sydney and you want to be comfortable, then you'll have to work pretty much straight away. It's not like, you know, other jobs where you kind of set yourself up while you're playing. So then when you finish, you do have, you know, everything set up for you.
Yeah. And also in saying that, having a look through your career, you've had some pretty major injuries in your career. Tell us about some of that and what the process was, and also about dieting as well, like keeping fit. How do you do that?
Yeah, so I've had obviously a few injuries throughout my career. The probably biggest two were probably I tore my calf at the Commonwealth Games, which meant that I missed out on playing majority of that tournament. And then obviously the biggest one I've had is my ACL reconstruction in 2013. So that was my very first full-time contract with the Swifts. So that was, you know, heartbreaking, obviously, as a 20-year-old coming in and, you know, thinking the world is, you know, big fluffy rainbow, and I got my contract and then obviously doing my ACL, and I had no idea what, like, was what that entailed, what I was about to come up against, you know, not playing netball for, you know, 12 months, being able to run, walk. So, yeah, and as you said, like, the rehab was grueling. It was tough. It was, you know, took a lot of discipline. But, yeah, as you said, dieting was huge in that. I think dieting any day for us is important. It's all about, you know, our fuel is not to be skinny or to look fit. It's all about fueling to be able to perform, making sure we're getting enough carbs and protein, that to be able to recover from sessions, then to build muscle, to build strength, and then to have enough carbs, have the energy to be able to perform, you know, 60-minute games, and making sure that we're hydrated so that, you know, our decision-making doesn't falter. So, yeah, I guess, but in those times when you're injured, that also changes the quantity you have, the amount you have, what you have. So, you know, we're not on crazy diets. Netballers aren't on crazy diets. Yeah, it's very pretty disciplined in terms of, you know, what we're doing to try and fuel our body to be able to perform at the highest level day in, day out, not just on the on match day. It's obviously what we're doing during the week to get us to match day as well, and to prepare best for training as well.
And the one thing watching it, and people say it's like, oh, it's just a girls' game, the boys play the cricket and the rugby league, but it's intense. The hit, some of the hits, and it really is physical. Is that just because of the modern game, because it's so fast?
Yeah, I think people say, "Oh, it's a non-contact sport," but it's definitely a semi-contact sport now. And obviously, like in the rules, you can't obviously purposely do it. But yeah, I think just the way that how fast the game's got, the way that it's been, umpired and controlled, obviously letting different things go that aren't considered to be, stopping play or hindering on opportunities. So yeah, I think in the last 5 to 6 years, I think the game's exploded. It's become a lot more physical, a lot more fast. You can't go anywhere near each other. There's definitely hits in the air. There's definitely contacts off the ball. So yeah, I definitely think it's come a long way. Obviously, I think Suncorp Super Netball, the way it's kind of umpired is very different to international.
Sometimes what is that?
I just think that internationally, obviously the Australians, the way that we play at Suncorp Super Netball is very one-on-one. It's very contact, it's very body. So a lot is kind of seen in the rules within the game, like it's not stopping play. It's not, giving momentum changes to one team. Well, internationally, obviously, we play very different styles international. Like we play off the body, we play possession games, we play one-on-one games. So different umpires from different countries obviously are exposed to different avenues and different styles. So, yeah, it's obviously just the way the game's read, and the intentional contacts versus the unintentional contacts are very different. So, yeah, it's obviously just the way that, I guess, different styles of umpires and games, and obviously like we play very different to New Zealand. Like they're off the body, they're in space, so the way that we play obviously seems a lot more contact and physical. So yeah, I think it's just the way people see the game, and I guess Suncorp is probably the most physical netball you're ever going to play.
And that's really cool that the New Zealand team has a different style of playing. It makes it more interesting to watch, and I'm sure to play as well.
Yeah, we've obviously always, I guess, known about their offline and box style defense, and yeah, it makes you really have to think about how you play, because you don't get that week in, week out in Suncorp games either.
Actually, let's go to two of your highlights: winning the grand final with the Swifts. Talk about some stories there with the winning the two premierships.
Yeah, I think winning your premiership for your club is like unreal. It's like you spend every day together. You're training hard, like you're going through the ups and downs of the season. So yeah, when you win it, it's like just a fairy tale. And I think that first one we won in 2019, we had a lot of setbacks. We lost our captain at the time, Maddie Proud, to an ACL. She was out for most of the year. Lauren Moore hurt her shoulder and Kate Eddy hurt her foot. So we lost three players that year. So we had three people come in and fill their spots. And obviously no one thought we would win it given, the injuries we had. But somehow we found a way in Queensland to go up there, and I think we ended up winning by 17 goals. So it was just like unreal. Like it was like to be able to enjoy a grand final for the last few minutes is really unheard of. So to be able to enjoy that moment was, really special. And I was obviously able to step up into that captaincy role. And so to be able to win the first club's premiership in 11 years was unreal. And then our second one was in 2021, which was 2 years later. That was the COVID year, so
yes, right.
We're moving from, I think we started in Gold Coast, then we got moved to Melbourne, then we got moved to Adelaide, and then we got moved back to Queensland, so we'd moved four different times. We were in quarantine. Yeah, we were in quarantine because we had been in Sydney, so you were like, obviously like COVID, so you had to go into quarantine. When we got to Melbourne, you weren't allowed to go outside your hotel, only to training and back. And then we got to Adelaide and we were in quarantine again because we've been in Melbourne. Anyway, it was a crazy year. We lost our coach for two games because she was in quarantine. But yeah, so to win that one, I guess
that's a whole new podcast, I think. That COVID period. Wow.
Yeah. So to win that one, was just, I think there had been so much stuff, and you're obviously away from your family for 3 or 4 months because we're on the road. They're in lockdown in Sydney, so they were doing it tough. So yeah, it was obviously special to win that one. I think we always say like it's obviously like when you won like in 2019, you obviously family's there and you see them, but it was obviously awesome in 2021 because you didn't have all those outside sponsors and media and stuff. You kind of just had your little bubble. So when you won, we got to really celebrate together, and we'd been in the hub for 3 months together, so we'd spent so much time in hotel rooms. So then to be able to win it was really special because you'd had so much time together in that period, and you've gone through ups and downs and stresses and missing family and all of that. So, yeah, that was unreal, that one to win. And, yeah, hopefully 2024.
I really hope that someone documented that and that it gets shown because, wow, that's an incredible story to win that during that period, like you said, with all those setbacks. Incredible. And the Australian netball team, just going through some of the, especially in the last 3 years, just going through all the things that you've won since 2022. Netball Quad Series, Commonwealth Games, Constellation Cup, England Series, Netball Quad Series, 2033, Netball World Cup, Constellation Cup, South African Series, Netball National Cup. Is this not one of the best Australian teams of the era?
Well, I'd like to hope so. I think, obviously when Stacey Marinkovic came in 2020, I think she came in, that COVID year, we had lost the Commonwealth Games in 2018 by one, and we'd lost the World Cup in 2019 by one. So we didn't have any of the major tournaments in our cabinet, and we'd lost the Constellation Cup, Stacey's first tour in New Zealand in quarantine. Also, we lost that one. So she came in pretty much back against the wall, like, you need to go and get those major tournaments back in our cabinet. And, yeah, I think she's done a phenomenal job. I think she's really built the kind of group of 15, 18 athletes that she's kind of stuck with for that kind of two-year period. And, yeah, done phenomenal. Like, there's obviously been losses throughout that, but to be able to, I guess, stand up in those big moments, like, I remember the Birmingham Commonwealth Games, like, Jamaica were red hot, and then everyone in the UK was screaming for them. Like, no one wanted Australia to win. Yes. So you were playing, like, it was unreal, the crowd, but no one wanted us to win. So to be able to win that one was, yeah, like, unreal. And then obviously the same thing in the World Cup in last year. I think we played Jamaica in the semi-final because we'd lost the round game to England. And that was like the gold medal match, because that was just going goal for goal for goal. That'd be up by two, we'd be up by two, that'd be up by one, we'll be up by one. Like, and yeah, I think this group that we've got together is really special. And yeah, I think Stacey's done an awesome job. She's, you know, it's been a lot of pressure as well. Like, she's obviously she's been told, you know, to get those trophies back in the cabinet. So yeah, she's done an awesome job. And yeah, it's been awesome to be a part of it. Like, you know, as I said, like, playing for your country is one of the most special things ever.
And co-captain as well. I think we already mentioned that before, but yeah, co-captain of the Australian team. Amazing.
Yeah, never thought that would be, never thought you'd captain your country. Like, not many people get to do that. So yeah, it's very special to have captain when Lizzie was having a rest and now be the vice captain of the team I never thought that would happen. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Social media is... Paige, where can we find you on social media?
My main platform I'm on is Instagram. So it's just Paige, P-A-I-G-E-Y, Hadley, H-A-D-L-E-Y. Twitter, I'm on Twitter. I'm not really much of a tweeter, but I'm on there, you know, like, read a few things. That's where I get your up-to-date information. And I'm also on Facebook as well. So I'm not on TikTok, though. I haven't really got there yet. I feel like I've missed the boat on that generation. Where everyone says now is TikTok's a new way. But, yeah, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, I'm all on those things.
Awesome. Last question, Paige. Who is your greatest inspiration / hero and why?
Oh, well, look, growing up, if I had to be, like, a netball person, I was always a player called Natalie Von Berto. She was the captain of Australia when I was growing up, and she just wasn't flashy. She wasn't showy. She just did her job, and I just love that. But I think my biggest inspiration has to be my family. I think they've given up so much for me to live my dream, and they're following me around the world. Like, they've come all over the world to watch me play. You know, they've sacrificed so much. They've driven me hours and hours of training. They've done so much for me, and I think I wouldn't be half the person or the player I was without them. So, yeah, they inspire me to be better, to keep chasing my dreams, to get up when things knock you back. Because they always were there. They always gave me the best opportunity they could. And so, yeah, definitely my family. I've got obviously an amazing mum and dad. I've got a big brother, and I've got now two nieces that I absolutely adore. And they inspire me to just keep going out there and doing the thing I love and being better. So, yeah, I think my family definitely inspire me every day to be better.
I see on your Instagram too. Of, yeah.
Little nieces, yep. They get a lot of attention on there.
Get to see that. So thank you very much for your time, Paige. I really do appreciate it. All the best for the upcoming season. Make sure that you, if you get a chance, come to Newcastle and play some netball there.
Will do. Thanks so much, Craig.
No worries. Thanks, Paige. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
大家好, I'm Bala from Bala Simple Chinese School. If you are a beginner, intermediate, advanced, looking for HSK study, business Chinese, or simply want to improve your everyday communication, I'm the teacher for you. Come and join me for a free trial class at Bala Simple Chinese School.